Good morning. Welcome to Merriweather Beach. Another beautiful morning. Getting a bit cooler, but still not too bad. For the Beach Business Breakfast podcast show with Jeremy, the co-host, and today's guest, Alan. Alan, thanks for coming in and dressing in your Aloha shirt. Very, very nice. So just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, 7:30 till 8:30. Informal networking, great for startup businesses to grow your business contacts, or for established business, or whatever you're doing. So come along, and you'll meet a lot of people who are interested in helping you grow your business. So Alan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic weather, fantastic surf.
Oh, it's beautiful,
isn't it? It's excellent. So tell us a bit about what you do and how you got to where you are. So you do profiling of people in your business, and what sort of led you to that?
Well, that's been a very long journey, actually. But what it is, first of all, is being able to read somebody's personality traits, how they like to think and how they like to process information. So I look at facial features to be able to work that out. Then I look at the body language, the micro expressions, little twitches on the face that tell me somebody's real feelings at that time, their emotions. Yep. And then by putting it all together, I've got a pretty good understanding of their character as well.
Okay. Feel subconscious, bit subconscious now, David?
Self-conscious
rather than subconscious.
I'm wearing my sunglasses. that's good. So you're doing that now. What sort of things have you done in the past?
Well, I worked with, it's now Telstra, but it was Telecom before that and PMG before that again. And I came to Newcastle in 1975 with them as they became Telecom. Stayed with them until the year they became Telstra and left. So 23 years with them. So as a principal technical officer. So my role was looking after all computer links and that sort of thing out of Newcastle.
Is that your background, computing?
Not so much computing, it was more the technician side, the installation of the networks and maintaining them. And after, when we were moving in towards Telstra, I thought I could see the end of the customer service as we knew it. Where it was focused on the individual. Now it was all time management, focused on the time. And I thought, well, I needed to have a change, so I managed to orchestrate my own redundancy.
Excellent, that's good. Best way to do it. The best way to predict the future is to try and control it.
That's it. I left them and went into a high-speed printing and mailing and pretty well worked in just about every industry you can think of.
Okay.
It's pretty diverse.
Yeah. And while I was doing that, I was also a member of Nobby Surf Lifesaving Club. So club captain there and then zone supervisor.
Excellent.
From where I was in telecom, I was the youngest person in my staff everybody else was older than me. And I was in charge.
When I went to the
surf club, now I was one of the older people there and joined in my 30s, telling all the other people who've been there since their nippers. So I always found myself in an interesting position with people. And so that's probably what's pushed me through all those different industries to mainly focus on understanding people and knowing how to actually work with them. Like I just said a moment ago with the facial features and things like that, and you've made the comment about wearing the sunglasses, etc. I'm looking at both the upside and the downside of someone's traits, where the strengths are and where they're going to have their challenges. And quite often, I see a person better than they see themselves. So it's all about helping people understand themselves.
So is this something like a learnt skill, or is this something you've just worked your way into? Like you don't, I don't think many surf life-saving computer technicians become like facial readers. Like that seems an unlikely progression.
With the four skills that I'm using, I'm pretty much unique worldwide because when I started, I have people working with micro expressions, others working with body language, others working with the facial features, but nobody had really put it together. And I couldn't see a reason why not to. I thought they complement each other. They give you so much more information. So I put together what I called human pattern recognition, now which has become rapid trait profiling and rapid pattern profiling. And my main target is to create and train my own competition. Because the more people doing what I'm doing, the more people get the benefit of it. And the funny thing is, if I train them, they're not my competition, are they? Because I'm helping them get their clients. So I've always looked at, well, how can I think outside the box? And how can I actually help people to do things in a way they hadn't thought of before? And so this seemed to be a natural progression for me.
How did you get your first couple of clients? So you're in telecom, into your redundancy, move into printing, that sort of thing, and then you move into this. How did you sort of get your first
clients? Like, how did that come about?
Well, the transition just before this was, I was both a massage therapist, working with NLP as well, neuro-linguistic programming. But I was also invited to go in and help a company who were teaching currency trading, who never made any, none of their students made any money, so I wanted to know why. And it had to be down to their own psychology when they were trading. And so I started using other methods of profiling. Somebody mentioned to me one day about reading faces. That's when I started looking at this. So it was, as far as when my first clients came from, it was a transition through from what I was doing at the massage. I've had a reputation of always being consistent, and so people have been watching me out of curiosity for quite some time, because as you say, not many people do what I do.
No.
And it was through some of the referrals from friends that people came along with particular problems, like a woman with a child with Asperger's. The school wanted to kick him out when he was 6 years old. And I profiled and gave her some advice to take back to the school. They put it in place. The last testimonial she did for me was last January, which is 3.5 years after. He's no longer seeing a psychologist. His life at school is completely different. And she's used the same skills now to find the partner of her dreams as well.
Oh, fantastic. So what sort of thing, what sort of strategies would you use for, say, a child in that situation?
Well, once you understand how somebody likes to think and process, you talk to those traits. So a child who has any sort of condition, well, you know yourself, if you're happy, fine, but if you're unhappy, everything seems to fall to pieces that day. So if somebody comes along and then speaks to you in a different way, makes the situation a much more enjoyable, etc., your whole demeanour changes. So you can imagine with these children, they're in that condition, the environment doesn't suit them, so of course they're going to respond in a negative way. But if you speak to them the right way, you set the environment up knowing how they like to think and process, it's going to quieten them down, and the relationship's going to be a lot better.
So is this something that's instinctual for you, or you're like a voracious reader, or you've like been to like 5 dozen Tony Robbins seminars? Like,
I'm the sort of person who actually has to learn by doing things over and over, so I get absorbed in it. And well, one of the things I learned some time back, and I've always said the most important thing I'll ever learn is the next thing I learn after I think I know everything. So I've always, somebody will come up to me and go, well, as far as I said, when it came to reading faces, I was doing a workshop one day.
So he's practicing on people.
And this guy just came up to me and said, hey, have you ever looked at reading faces? And I went, that sounds interesting. So I searched the net, found Paul Ekman, who was the guy who did all the work behind the micro expressions. And you may have heard of the Lie to Me show. He was the advisor behind that.
That's right.
Then other people in the other fields, trained with all of them, and then brought it all together. So a lot of my stuff is School of Life, my own experiences, all those people around me, and a lot of learning as well.
So who are some of the interesting people you've worked with that you can talk about? So I know on your websites there's like the celebrity profile. And like Jeremy and I are celebrities.
Why else am I here?
Aspirational, aren't we?
This is like, we're like signed for a second season of this show, which is good.
Yeah, well, get me out of bed this early, you've got to be a celebrity.
It's like a letter, like we're like Z-grade celebrities or something.
I think we've made it up. Might be a bit higher than that now. Might be like Y or W. We're getting there. We've got dreams and aspirations too.
But you have worked with some interesting or unusual people?
Well, I had a phone call back in April last year to whether I'd seen Julie Bishop roll her eyes in Parliament. So I did a quick, they sent me a link because I hadn't seen it. Spoke to him on the phone, and then I was on Channel 7 profiling her, and also then they put up a link of Kate Middleton with an eye roll that she had while she was in London. In New York. So I profiled that. Then from there, one of the news limiters over in England got in touch with me and said, could I profile The Bachelor? Sam Wood. So end up profiling him 3 times. And then they came back, and Fox Sport asked me to profile...
This is before they put him on TV.
Well, actually, it's interesting the way they put those shows together. But then it was, as I said, Fox Sport with Jason Taylor and Robbie Farah.
Okay, with some of the interesting dynamic going on there, isn't it?
Why did they ask you to do, like, those people asked you to do it on them, or their producer,
The show itself asked me, they actually had the film clip of the press conference they had, and they wanted to know who had the control out of the two of them.
What was going on down underneath.
Right, okay.
But so it was also their seating position, like where we're sitting at the moment is pretty much the way you'll find on one of those shows. But this particular case, they're very close to each other, and they've been structured that way, which put extra pressure in there as well.
So it's like when you see two, like, Putin and Obama or something, and like one of them's leaning over the other or something, and maybe not the obvious, but so they were trying to suss out retrospectively what had happened.
Yeah, what both of them were feeling, what had actually been set up around them as well. So those are a lot of fun.
Yeah. So with internationally, so the UK, you've been doing a bit of work over there?
Yeah, a lot of my work at the moment is via the internet. So I'm training in the UK, US. The other night I was on the line with a gentleman in Romania that I'm training.
Yeah.
So they're all over the world.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. So for a business, just say Jeremy's website business, Jeremy's probably the world's leading internet hoster and website developer. Some of the other people from the Beach Business Breakfast, we've got financial planners, accountants, mortgage brokers, that's us, and we've got a few others, of course. But what sort of things can you help them with their clients? What sort of thing?
Fixing their marriages either. What do you actually do for their businesses?
That's probably maybe a bit too hard. But what sort of things can you do, and how might you be able to help them?
Well, you start right at the very front end. What sort of image are you projecting?
Yeah.
See, people will look at your LinkedIn photos, your Facebook photos, your web photos, and straight away they'll make an impression of who you are.
Yeah.
Now, if that is giving the wrong indication, and then there's the text that you have written there about your background.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a resume. It shouldn't be a history of the jobs that you've done.
Yeah.
It should be why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because people will look at that and see if they correlate to start with.
Yeah.
So after the breakfast we had here the other week,
yeah.
I offered that to a few other people, and a number of them have come back to me.
Yeah.
And those that I've said, well, change your photograph, I've all changed their photographs.
Yeah.
So
excellent.
We'll see how they actually go with that.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is, well, so for instance, how often have you gone up to somebody and when you've been talking to them, everything seemed to be going fine in the presentation, and then all of a sudden they've lost interest and you've virtually talked yourself out of the sale or out of the deal.
Yeah, it does happen.
Well, I can train you how to actually look at somebody and recognise their traits and know exactly how they like to be spoken to, how to present to them.
Yep.
And so you're actually shortening that sales cycle very quickly.
And probably also sorting the customers worth chasing out from the ones that are probably just there maybe to find out information or really don't know what they want yet.
That's it. Yeah. First of all, the facial features will give you the personality, so they've all got the presentation.
Yeah.
Then when you are doing the presentation, you're watching the body language and the expressions you're getting, and you know whether they're actually attuned to it, whether there's... Because if there's a difference between that and the facial features and the way you think they should be behaving, then there's something else going on as well.
Yeah.
So there could be emotional stuff going on, or there could be stuff that they're trying to hide from you.
Yeah.
Presently, one of my students, she went over to South Australia, and she's an accountant.
Yep.
And sitting down with her, one of the group of clients, the bookkeeper was being very cagey, the way she was looking, the directions and everything else, that she knew that something was going on.
Yeah.
Now, without those skills, she said she would have missed it altogether.
Yeah.
And so she'd be able to pick up that there were problems in what was going on in the accounting side.
So I'm interested in just like maybe a little example. So if you're sitting with someone and they're kind of, I don't know, not really picking up your eye occasionally, or paying, like if they're looking not at you and not really saying very much, not really sitting upright, just very like, you sort of go, oh, not real interested, obviously, like you're just, they're just passive participant in that conversation. So some things like that to me are pretty obvious, like even to a not particularly very observational human being, like sometimes people just are really, they don't give a shit. So what's a couple of small things that people don't usually notice that you sort of go, oh, that's a real classic example?
Well, the first thing is, if you've noticed a few of those things, you've got to ask yourself, are they all congruent? See, if I was sitting here and I had my arms folded and talking to you, that on itself might be the fact that it could be cold, could be a whole bunch of reasons. But what's the rest of my body doing? What's the way I'm asking questions or they're nodding, etc.
I'm
paying interest.
In the conversation,
You're looking to see how many indicators are telling you they're switched off or they're switched on.
Yep.
And so in this particular case, that would mean one thing, but we were talking, and then I changed my position. Now you know that I'm really engaged. I was engaged before, but even more so now.
So that becomes a fit.
So you're looking for that, and that's one of the things. Look, how open is the person?
Mm-hmm.
They may not look you straight in the face while they're listening to you because they may be concentrating, and it may be a matter of trying to take it all in.
Or they could have a lot of other stuff going on in their life that time. Might have been some bad family news, or lost a big client, or just generally having a bad day. So you mentioned the young child with Asperger's. Have you done much work in other schools with teachers? Like my wife's a teacher, and I think sometimes teachers looking after 25 or 30 odd kids, you know, could probably do with some of these skills.
Well, they definitely do. We've got so many kids that are now being labelled with ADHD and other conditions.
Yeah.
And quite often it's just the fact that they don't fit the system.
Yeah.
So I have trained a group of primary school teachers in one school, and in their particular case, as I said to them, as the children come in the first day, you're able to work out their learning styles.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an instance. If you have a child who's very sequential, where everything's got to be joined, everything's got to follow its proper order, they're also fidgets and they're easily distracted.
Yes.
And they're sitting in the class, and the teacher gets to a certain point, child loses attention, teacher goes over those couple of points, everybody got that, little child's going, yes, I've got that, but the body's going, no.
Exactly, yeah.
The teacher doesn't pick it up and moves on. Now that child, because they have can't link it together, starts to get frustrated.
Yeah.
And if they've already got the traits that tell you that they can't sit still, they're easily distracted, they're going to get more so.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you've got a child who's noisy. And next thing you know, you're labelling the child with a condition, and they've gone.
And then, getting sent to the principal's office with notes home and that sort of stuff.
Now, they don't need to.
At the beach breakfast, you did mention like funding that is available for people to take advantage of some of the courses you offer. Can you give us a bit of detail on that?
Well, the Industry Skills Fund have come to the party, and they used to be only registered programs, like certification fours, etc., diplomas. But they've now realised that a lot of those courses don't really give people the skills that they need.
Yeah.
So now what we have is people like myself with my type of courses are now available to those businesses.
Yeah.
So if you're a registered business with an ABN for 3 years and you've been in operation that period of time, you've got 0 to 4 people, you can actually get up to 75% of your fees on that back.
Oh, okay. So the thing is, 3 years, got to be trading for?
You've got to have an ABN for 3 years.
ABN for 3 years,
and
okay.
Register for GST.
Yeah.
And it's got to get the training, your business just has a what I call a growth statement. In other words, if I do this training, I can take my business from here to here, and it's not just business as usual, just normal growth.
Yeah.
It's a massive change.
Yeah, yeah.
What sort of commitment do you have from those people each week or month, or like what's a program like that look like?
Well, that's pretty much the same as any other training I do, but their agreement is now with the government.
Mm-hmm.
In that they have to make sure they finish the course.
Yeah, yeah.
I've structured the courses so they don't just learn. Yeah. In the last couple of sessions, they actually go out and do their own assessments. And the beautiful part of it is they will pick somebody in business that they want to really connect with. So if it's a real estate agent wanting to connect with a developer, they would go and profile that person over that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They would bring that profile back, all with the presentation of how they're going to talk to them, and then I assess it.
Yes.
So now they not only have the learning, the working together in collaboration where they understand it, now they've got their experience and they've already got their first proposal before they finish the course to go out and do.
Yeah. And how long does the course go for? What's the program?
Well, I'm running two courses at the moment. One is 3 months.
Yep.
That's mainly for building your profits in your business.
Yep.
And the second one is for coaches.
Yep.
And that one's a 6-month program.
Yeah, yeah.
Because with that, we take it down to the level of how to counsel the people as well.
Yeah.
So I had one recently where, and as I say, I do most of my profiling and that just from photographs.
Yes.
And in one of the workshops, one of the girls brought along a girlfriend's daughter's photograph, 14 years old. She asked me to profile her, which I did. She's having problems with her mum, or her mum's not been communicating with her very well. And I said, well, where's mum's photo?
Yeah,
so we stalked social media, grabbed her photo off Facebook,
and
profiled the mum. Not that either of them had a problem, it's just a difference in their traits. And what happens when you're stressed, you become more of your own trait. So if you're very concise, you become even more concise. Whereas the two were completely different. And when mum was speaking to the daughter, it sounded like an inquisition because it was questions like this.
Yeah.
Whereas the daughter wanted the big talk. So we advised the mum on how to actually change the way she spoke.
Mm-hmm.
That changed things straight away.
Yeah.
But from what I was told about the girl's life, as far as changing from a public school to a private girl's school, and her age, and its personality traits, I knew how she processed, so I knew what difficulty she was going through. Here I am, I'm in my 60s, and I'm looking at a 14-year-old girl and knowing exactly how she's thinking.
Yeah.
And when the girl in my class went and sat back down with her over dinner a couple of weeks later, the girl ticked every box, spot on again. So once you understand the personality traits, you go away from, you get right beyond all the different generation gaps, and you know, it doesn't matter what sex or nationality they are. You can still communicate.
You just have to sort of pick the right photo though. Like if someone's sitting like posing for a portrait, or they're like out drinking with their drinking buddies or something, like you're not going to get exactly the same sort of feedback from the photo, are you? Like surely
you're going to get a lot of information. A lot of my photographs have just been candid ones. People will say to me, can you have a look at a couple of photos I got on Facebook, for instance, or somebody wants to know about somebody. I'll just go and have a look at it. Now, there's quite a lot of traits. I'm looking at about 68 traits in total, which may sound daunting, but it's not really, because when I look at somebody, I look at what stands out the most. Now, as far as the dimensions of the face...
Jeremy's exceptional good looks.
So when you look at the dimensions of the face, you know straight away
that... I can't afford the coffees and the brides that I have to keep paying you, David. Just tone it down a bit, right?
But the dimensions on your face don't change overnight. So you might smile and things like that. So I may miss a trait there, but the rest of the face is telling me a lot. And all I'm doing is pulling it together and going, okay, what stands out the most, what moderates and what enhances it, and build an image. So if I miss on one trait, I've got all those others to work with. Because not one trait defines you, it's a combination of all of them.
I suppose when you're working with clients, you can say, look, when you do a presentation, this is the way you come across. So if you want to change that, change these, or work on these things.
It'd be a hard discussion to have, I suppose.
But I think, if you're using an expert, you've got to listen to the expert and implement the advice. Otherwise, if it's the old thing, if you're just going to do the same thing over and over, you'll get the same results.
So, exactly. Yeah. Well, see, if you're... because there's no right or wrong trait, as I say, and whatever traits you've got are perfect for you. Now, if you're the sort of person who needs all the detail, and somebody who likes to stand close to people and things like that, you walk in and you've got somebody who's got the opposite traits, they're going to feel uncomfortable. So it's in your interest to know exactly how they like to be approached and spoken to. And then you change the way you speak to them for that purpose.
I reckon you'd be a great person to watch like Game of Thrones with. Because you know exactly what people are doing and what's going to happen. And it's all you're going to go next episode, they're going to do this.
How important is it having a candid moment to observe, though? Because if someone knows they're being... Like, if someone's posing or they know they're being watched, and I bet that is... But politicians would be pretty good at that. Like, if they're giving a talk, they're presenting a paper or something, they know, like, there's 20 cameras looking at them, tone down your facial expressions or whatever, versus, let's say, sitting on a chair having a cigar. A bit less holding back of emotion and presentation, maybe, or something like that.
What we've got, there's a whole lot of information going on. We've told there's about 2 million bits of information that's coming through all our senses every second. But we only process about 134 bits. So if you try and control your facial expressions, your body's going to give it away. too much activity.
But you can't, no one's good enough to hold that back, basically.
That's it, because if you can control and concentrate on your facial expressions, your body will give it away. But see, what happens is that when somebody says something, unconsciously you react. And in that moment, then the conscious mind steps in. And that's what a micro-expression is. It's as fast as a fifth of a second down to 125th of a second. And that's what I'm reading. So I'm seeing those little twitches that tell me what's really going on.
One frame on a 30 frame a second video, that's pretty...
That's about it. And it's surprising just how well people can pick it up after a little bit of practice.
And that's fantastic. So you've been in a range of roles, businesses, met lots of people. What's the best bit of business advice you've ever been given?
I would say to people to keep their minds open, because if I hadn't been doing what I had that attitude myself, when that person said to me, "Ever looked at reading faces?" I now wouldn't be considered to be the world authority on reading faces and profiling people.
Yeah, so it's been open to opportunities, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And with the media attention that I've had, and that's where the celebrity profiler title came through from. And also that comment as being the world authority, that came from The Guardian.
Being on this show,
exactly. That's just taking it to the new level.
our two viewers on YouTube are going to just jump straight to your website.
We're going to work this one, that's for sure. We had Jeremy on our first episode. It got lots of looks, but we're pretty sure he did something to boost that.
That makes you our most profiled, our most prominent celebrity, I think, doesn't it?
Thank you.
He's probably our first celebrity, apart from us.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming in, Alan. That was really, really good.
Thank you.
I think I know a couple of the people from the breakfast have met up with you and said it was a fascinating discussion. So we'd encourage the Business Beach Breakfast members to have a chat with Alan at our next breakfast and the one after and the one after. So enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Interesting.
Thank you. Thanks.